G'day, folks. Talk to William Dave O'Hickey, a proud Wiradjuri Gamilaroi man and a professional basketball athlete for the Illawarra Hawks of the NBL, National Basketball League, and yarn about what it takes to get to that level, the hustle and the grind, and professionalism within the league itself, and what that environment's like, and how you carry yourself outside of it, and what it's like as a proud Aboriginal man playing within that league. And the First Nations focus within the NBL. It's fascinating. And yarning about, talking about Aussies playing in various leagues around the world, like the NBA over in the States. Loved it. And if you like the podcast, hit that subscribe or follow button. And we've also got a Patreon page. The link is within the description. So if you want to roll with the squad and become a patron, that'd be great. And want to thank our sponsors, Permabil Australia, the greatest electric wheelchairs in the land. Wouldn't be sitting in anything else but these four wheels right here. And they've got great assistive tech also. So righto, let's get into it.
Keep rolling with Jake Briggs. Oh, yeah.
Righto. William, Davo, Hickey. Cheers, brother, for jumping on the podcast and getting ready to have a yarn with us, mate. And what do we go with Davo or what?
Yeah, everyone calls me Davo.
Righto. Just wanted to lock that in.
Yeah.
So right. where's your mob from, bros?
So my mob's from Cowra and Walgett. So in Cowra, that's Wiradjuri country. Grew up there by the Lachlan River. Loved it there. And then also Walgett, which is Gamilaroi or Gomeroi country, just up near Queensland.
Yeah, right out Walgett, eh? I've been there a long time ago now, so that takes it, like I'm up on the Central Coast there, just north of Sydney, but yeah, it takes a while to get up out Walgett way.
Yeah, it does. Quite a drive.
Yeah. No, that's solid. So, in and around basketball. So, the passion. So, where did the passion from basketball come from, whether that was from, you know, local mob, whether that was the NBL, the NBA, international basketball, where did all that sprout from?
Well, actually, I grew up playing footy. Rugby league. Grew up obsessed with it, you know, just literally grew up around literally like 20-second walk from Redfern Oval, you know. Before they rebuilt it, we used to jump in through the gates, sneak in there and just play footy. But then as I got older, you know, just towards high school, I played it here and there, not any organized basketball at all. And then my brother started playing and, you know, I sort of picked it up when he did. Tended to copy whatever he'd done. And just a few games here and there on the weekends. I just fell in love with it. Only took me 3 or 4 games. Just, I don't know, I haven't played a sport like it, I guess. Just, you know, the activity with your hands and your footwork, the fitness that I didn't think you'd have to have on a, you know, 20, 30 metre court that you've very much got to have. But yeah, that's pretty much, to sum it up, how I really fell in love with it. And then just, you know, dove into it from there.
Yeah, it's pretty complex what goes on a basketball court, eh? Like, a lot of people might not see that, but obviously, you know, because you're in the thick of it and, you know, experiencing that as a young fella and, you know, put down the footy for the round ball. So there's a lot involved there. So, and what was your path? So you've excelled through rugby league. So were you a Mad Souths fan or what? Or who'd you follow?
Still am. Big still Bunnies am? Boy. Yeah, my first ever email, I think, was Bunnies Boy 1999. Just obsessive. Grew up knowing everything about him. And then, yeah, it was a tough decision. But in the end, I feel like I made the right decision.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so Latrell Mitchell and crew. No, I'm a mad Dragon supporter.
That's my mum. Mum's a big drag supporter.
Yeah, see, when I was a young fella watching, you know, Mundane and Blacklock doing backflips and all that all over the shop, I'm following these guys now.
Yeah.
So, like, what was your path like when you're looking at the NBL, right? And it's no easy feat because you're looking at the amount of teams that are out there throughout the nation and where they're spread and looking at our population. And so what was the feed process when you're going before the NBL, like when I'm talking about if you're playing reps, state, all that sort of stuff. So as a young fella, so where did it lead up from when you grabbed the leather or the synthetic ball to basketball to where it led up to the NBA? What happened in between that?
Well, I'll just start from the start then, I guess. Best way to start. I started playing basketball, you know, and then a couple of referees and a couple of, you know, people within the local comp that I was playing for, what are they called in Melbourne? Domestic comp. And, you know, they just told me, oh, you should try out, like, you know. But I knew that reps was on Sundays, which was footy days back then. And so I was like, oh, nah, I don't know. Like, footies is on Sundays. And then it got to the point where one of the coaches from one of the teams had asked me to come down. So I just turned into a talk with my my grandmother and whatnot and just saying, oh, I don't know. And then she said, well, I mean, you got nothing to lose, you know. You're just trying out. If you make the team, you go from there. If not, keep playing footy. So I was like, all right, like, I'll do that. Sounds good. Ended up rocking up, I think, an hour late to the trial. Just no idea, you know, where it was. Made my way there and then got picked in the second division. And pretty much from there, once I made that first rep team, it was just, it was like, I don't know, in the back of my mind, I knew that I wasn't going to play footy anymore. Like, and so, yeah, pretty much I kept playing footy and basketball. But then it got to a time where I was like, all right, like, it's time to pick now. Couple years of playing. And so decided to drop the football and pick up basketball for good. And then from there, I think I ended up changing schools to Trinity.
Yeah, I went there right. And,
yeah, under Benny Morrissey, if anybody in the basketball world knows him. Great guy, great coach, sort of changed my whole trajectory in the way I played the game and approached the game, I guess. And, yeah, he was in my ear a lot about college, but in all honesty, I didn't like the concept of school. And this isn't to say that, you know, kids still stay in school, but for me personally, I just wasn't somewhere that I wanted to be, I guess. And so taking that into account, you know, I had college offers. I was talking to a couple of low-end D1 schools, you know, some D2 schools, JUCOs, whatnot. And I don't know, by that point, when I was growing up, the NBL was sort of looked at in the basketball world as a bit of a joke, if I'm honest. Like, not a lot of respect around the league. And then as I was finishing up school, the NBL started really clicking. And it started to become like a real possibility to play and, you know, a pathway to the end goal, which is the NBA. And so I made the decision, instead of going to college, to stay home. And sort of, you know, I got a lot of criticism for that, saying that's probably not the best option. You know, you can get a career and play basketball. And, you know, I just stuck by my guns and made the decision I was going to make. And I decided to stay here and pursue an NBL opportunity. So I've first signed with Melbourne Tigers in the NBL 1.
Yep.
Season down there. And went to the NBL Combine.
And you went to the NBL Combine, but, you know, because there's a lot of deep culture. Like, there's no, because it's Melbourne United now, but when you're looking at the Tigers, like, you're looking at a rich history there when you're talking about Andrew Gaze and crew. So what was it like, even though, you know, it's before the NBL, but what was it like having a crack with those fellas?
At the end of the day, they gave me my opportunity, but I'm not going to sit here and lie and say it was, you know, all roses. It was still tough there. I still had to sort of work my way through and prove I was somebody. And, you know, limited minutes where, as I feel like every athlete feels, you know, you feel like you should have more. But through that combine and, you know, having a good season, putting up a couple of highlights here and there, ended up signing with South East Melbourne. As a development player.
That's awesome.
And then that was the start of it.
That's awesome. Yeah, and what would you say, you know, because if you're going back to Trinity, because that would, you'd start to develop a style of play here. So, you know, what's, if you sort of put a blanket across yourself, what would be your style of play as a guard?
Just in general right now?
Mm.
I'm very reactive, that my game is based off of reads more than X's and O's. And I feel like that's probably one of my biggest strengths, is just being able to react and read what's given to me in the moment rather than try and plan something out. Like an example, you know, a lot of guys will sort of set a jab step or a move up to say, oh, once I do this, this means I might go to the left. Whereas mine's is I'm not doing it to set you up for anything. I'm doing it to see what you're going to do. And I'm reacting off of what you give me, not what is supposed to happen. Does that make sense?
100%. Because do you reckon footy helped you out a lot for that? Because I know a lot of black fellas, when it's got to do with the ball in their hand and where it's pure reactive, like it's not that, like there's set plays,
Yeah, but that's what they call it, right? Black magic, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like a lot of black fellas get that just from playing in the streets. Like my whole days used to be finish school and the very first thing was get some hot chips at the shop and head straight to the oval with my footy. And, you know, 20 of us boys playing footy every day, all day. Like, no rules. All it is just throw the ball out and let's play. And I feel like that's where a lot of, like, the magic comes from black fellas in the way that we do things that, you know, some people think, what was that?
Yeah, straight up the truth, brother, 100%. So, and it's good that you see that, you know, across the board, whether that's, you know, black fellas in league, basketball, if it's in a boxing ring, across the board, you know, it's just that natural reactive movements when something's coming at you. Or if you're going towards something. So what's your favourite offensive move if it's something that's reactive or set up?
Probably my hesitation.
Without giving – you don't have to give away all your sauce either, brother.
No, I feel like it's known. My hesitation, I feel like that's probably my go-to. It's just a way to freeze a guy just enough that again, like I say, I read what the defense gives me, and what I look for is just a little rise with the heel. And the moment you lift the heel, it's in my mind that's my time to attack. So, yeah, I'd probably say the hesitation.
Nice. And does that go the same on the defensive end when it's got to do with timing?
Yeah, it is. It's very much like I'm very good with my hands, and that's all, again, reactive, the timing of it, just knowing where you think a guy's going to pass the ball. And but again, like a lot of it's not going to work out every time, being reactive, you know? So it's like, it's hoping you have a coach that understands that you're not going to get it every time. But the times you do get it, it's, you know, it's going to be good.
That's awesome. So apart from like the reactiveness, like if you're talking about drills, skills, technique, and shooting's, you know, really important, when it goes, when you're working on technique with shooting, what's that like? When it's like, because you're working with different coaches and you'd be having, like, if it's just shooting coaches and if it's just got to do with placement of the elbow, the arm, like, talk us through some of those techniques, bros.
What do you mean exactly by that? Like, can you?
Yeah. So, like, when it's got to do with techniques, like,
yeah.
Because if you're shooting a certain way and then you might have a coach that comes to your side and they might go, well, hey, if you arc up your elbow this way or you stand upright maybe a little bit this way or bend your knees in this certain direction, you might get a bit more trajectory and lift and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, you get that all the time. At the end of the day, everybody wants to sort of, if they see something that they think they can fix, you know, again, it comes back to, you know, us as humans just being a bit egotistical, I guess. And it's not a bad thing. It's, you know, genuinely trying to help. But it does get to a point where you're sort of getting so much information. And I feel like that's what happened to me, to a sense. Like a lot of information, times how we need to shoot the ball, what we need to do. And I found that the thing that's best is finding what you're comfortable with and just no matter what, sticking to it.
Yeah.
saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I'm trying to get to that point where I can just get it right by feeling and not too much thinking about it.
Yeah, 100%. Because you see some of the great shooters, whether that's, you know, reactive or technique, you know, and you see what works for them, and everybody's different. But, you know, if you can get it, your own little system going, that's what counts, eh?
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. So, brother, like, you've had some good experience there, like Southeast Melbourne Phoenix and then Melbourne United. Now you're with the Mighty Hawks, the Illawarra Hawks. So how's that been? Like, when you've gone through three different ball clubs and one's gone through like a major change, when you've got where they used to be the Tigers but now it's United, and then you've got Southeast, which is a pretty new ball club. So what was the experience like? Because you've got Mitch Creek with Phoenix, you got Chris Gordon with United, and then, you know, you got the big fella Sam following with the Hawks there. And when it's got to do what, when you're learning or just playing with some of these guys, like, what's some of the tools and that you take off, like, working with some of those teammates along the way?
Well, I feel like those first 2 years at Melbourne and Phoenix, they were very eye-opening. Like you just mentioned, like, you learn a lot, and the best way to sum that up is, like, coming from juniors, because, again, like, I didn't go to college or anything. I just went straight from juniors to the pros. And it's sort of an eye-opener because you understand that there's more to just playing basketball and what it takes to be a professional. And in my first year, that was a lot of growing and understanding what it sort of took, you know. So I guess if I can say I took one thing out of, you know, that year and from some of those guys was just being better how you hold yourself. And, yeah, just coming with that. And then, you know, Melbourne United, being around guys like Deli and CG, Joe Chul, like, that's, you learn a lot, like, a lot, not just off the court, not just on the court, but off the court as well, you know. And I feel like that's what it was, you know, like, they were learning years, not just learning basketball-wise, but learning life lessons, you know, learning how to be a professional on the whole.
Mm. And it would have been big from Deli too, eh? Like, someone that's been over in the NBA and got himself a championship with the King, LeBron James. So that would have been priceless, like, taking that on. Yeah. So what was it like? 100%. Yeah, and what was it like playing and just being alongside Deli, and just what sort of energy does he bring?
Well, first of all, he loves Bitcoin. He'll tell you about it any chance.
On the crypto.
He loves it. I think he's got a Bitcoin counter on his counter at home. Lets him know the daily price. There's a little side story. But yeah, he's a great bloke, man. Like, you can understand why he made it back to the league. He's a very good culture guy. It was very, like, that alone was something to see that was very cool. You know, he just, the way he can sort of bring guys together, and it's like he's a coach, you know, out there. It's very, yeah, you understand why guys sort of get where they get, and he's the epitome of a professional. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And so it's like trying to take lessons and bits and pieces off of, you know, different guys and what they're great at.
That's interesting. Yeah, and I think, yeah, that's what I've heard too, when it's got to do with guys that set the culture, it seems like. And, you know, I feel bad for him now that, you know, they've bowed out with Sacramento, with the Kings. But, yeah, like, I followed that fella too, and that's what I've heard and seen, and, you know, where he's the sort of guy that, you know, they might have on, he might not play a lot of minutes, but it's what guys like that can bring to, you know, when it's half time or after the game, and, you know, when it's at the bench, and it's just setting that culture and that tone. Is that sort of along that lines, yeah?
That's exactly what it is, man. Like, he's asking people to hold a standard, and, you know, if you don't hold that standard, he'll do his best to keep you accountable, you know. He's just like, I'd say the best thing about him is just sort of like, again, the presence he has, it goes deeper than that. Like, he's just like a great guy. Like, you feel like genuine love from him, and he's cool. Like, just a good person to be around and have around in a group setting, you know?
That's awesome. And just seeing his tenacity, I remember just watching him in Cleveland and just his tenacity. Like, there was a loose ball, like, he's all over it. And it's almost like he's got a bloody rug, he's got an NRL ball in his hands, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, and you'll get that, you know, anytime he's on the court pretty much. Training or game, he's going to put it all into it.
Yep. And that memory just clocked in then when Mitch Creek, you know, when he bloody pulled that dunk on poor old Deli, but he tried to stand up on him.
I was 10 feet from that. That was.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was 10 feet away. You can see me on the bench as it happens. Like, it was, yeah, it was crazy. That was wild.
But they're both doing well, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Hawks, been around for a long time, this organisation. So how is it just being a part of that mob, that culture, playing with, you know, because you've got a bigger team. Well, I shouldn't say that, but you've got Sydney, and obviously that's a bigger area. But when I'm looking at, you know, because I do, you know, go for some of the more rural sort of teams as well, you know, when it's smaller markets. So, you know, and the Hawks, for what they are, they do stand head and shoulders above, you know, some of the other teams in there too. So how is that culture playing for the Illawarra Hawks?
Oh, it's awesome. Well, there's a reason they've been around for this long, you know. Mm. You can't stick around this log without building some sort of culture. And, you know, just the tight-knit feeling you get from, like, the community here is, you can really feel that, like, it's somewhat a small city, you know. Like, guys here will say, oh, where you've got to go is ages away. I'll look it up on Google Maps and it's only 20 minutes. You know, like, it's very small. And you can feel that just walking around the city. Like, there are cafes that we go to. There are people that will just pull us up and just tell us, you know, oh, like, go to the Hawks. Like, it's a very, like I said, tight-knit feeling in this community. And that alone is, like, its own sort of bonus, you know. But the club themselves are awesome as well, you know, the way they've treated me and the way they've helped, you know, just with my career and me becoming a professional as well. They've been awesome. Nothing but respect for them.
And how's Coach go? What's his style like?
His style? Angry. No.
He's like a great Popovich style, eh?
Yeah. He's very chill, but he just sort of, He expects excellence from you, you know. If he's bringing you in, he's going to expect the most from you. And I've found as long as you listen to him, like, you two will get along well. I'm sure that goes for most people, you know, but him especially, as long as you're just doing what he asks of you, especially on the court, then he's cool.
That's awesome. You still use a snake pit there or what?
Yeah, that's where we train every day.
Yeah, I thought so. Number 6, the jersey. Any reason why you're wearing that number?
No. 1 year, I think it was my third year playing. I got number 6 given to me because my number was taken, and then I went to I just moved to Trinity, and then I just happened to get number 6, and they were from both teams. So I just took it as a sign. It's like, hey, that's your number now.
Fair call.
Nothing too special to that.
Pre-season training, you up in that now?
Pre-season, yeah. We call it pre-season.
Yeah, got a bit to go, but it's good to get in early, yeah?
Yeah, there's a few of us boys here just getting in work, you know. Down here playing NBL 1 and been good. So, yeah, we'll just keep working at that, and hopefully by the time the season comes around, all the pre-season and pre-season pays off.
Yeah, because you got to be fit. I think a lot of people underestimate how much cardio goes into basketball, you know.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Which is huge.
I've got, funny you say that, I grew up playing footy, obviously, you know, so I've got a lot of footy mates. And one weekend, I think I was about 18, we decided to put a Redfern All Blacks basketball team into the comp where I was playing during my juniors, the local comp. And, you know, the boys get out there and after about 5 minutes, we have to call a timeout because they didn't realize how much running there was. They were just like, that's what they said. They were like, bro, I know it's only 20, 30 meters, but I feel like I'm doing suicides. Yeah. So it'll do that to you like, real quick. And it's just a different type of fitness, you know, and you can hear that from a lot. Like Uncle Chalk, you know, he talks about it a lot, like basketball different and our fitness and footy, our boxing fitness and footy fitness, they're just different. Like you build yourself a different sort of cardio aspects of each games, you know, whatever it needs, whatever you need to do in that game.
Yeah, true. That's it. It's all about conditioning the body, hey. So in regards to that, what's your training regime like?
Ours is like a day-to-day.
Yeah, just sort of your day-to-day and what goes on through the week, so.
Yeah, so like we'll usually go gym in the morning, anyway from 8 to 9, you know, we'll get in there. And then after that, we're on court. We have about an hour break and then we're on court and finish up around, I'd say at the latest, 1 o'clock. But, yeah, that's it pretty much day-to-day. We get 2 days off a week. And, yeah, it's a very, very blessed lifestyle, like when we put it into perspective, you know.
Nice. And how do you prep for a game? So before the shoes go on, and you're sort of ready to rock and roll and the lights hit out on the court. So how are you feeling and what's going on, nerves or what's happening?
No, I don't. I mean, I would lie if I said I don't get nerves at all, but I don't sort of get scared in that way. And I don't really have like a routine I go through. I just turn up the play, you know. And I feel like as long as I'm there and as long as I got the ball in my hand, I'm ready.
That's good. Good, good, good. The NBL getting stronger year by year, you know, which is awesome to see. Like, because I was not the year just gone, the year before I was there in the grand final when they were breaking records, and it's good to see that this is continuing and the caliber of players that were good on home soil, the imports that were bringing over.
Young and, college kids starting to come back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, and when you're looking at the NBA keeps poaching NBL players. What's going on?
Look, it's sad for, you know, the level of competition that we're going to play against, but it's nothing but good things for the league, you know. Just gives the rest of us something to really knuckle down on and show us that, you know, the possibility is there as long as you work hard enough.
That's it, hustle and grind. So, and I think he's going to throw this young fella through the hoops. So when it's got to do with the Next Star program, and I love what the NBL do with that, like with the various teams, yep. And where it can lead some of these youngsters. So he's just signed up AJ Johnson from the US.
Yep.
So what do you think of this young guy and how he's going to fit in your team, Buzz?
He looks talented as hell. And like, as long as he comes in with the right mindset, you know, that this isn't going to be easy. You're not just going to come in and sort of take over. And it's not to take away from his abilities or what he can do. I'm sure he can do that, but it's just to expect, like, a different type of basketball than what he's used to, you know? Like, different countries play different styles of basketball, and over here it's real, really, really defense-driven, you know? And that's all. As long as he comes over here and he plays defense, the sky's the limit for the kid, you know? Like, he's obviously got talent through the roof. It's just about putting all of that together. And making sure, yeah, he turns up every day, ready to work. But he's going to fit beautifully as long as he makes the right decisions and the right moves.
Yeah, hey. Well, if you look at what the Hawks have done previously, when you look at LaMelo Ball, you know.
Yep, exactly right. You know, exactly right.
It's going to be interesting too to see how it goes, because you knocked it on the head there when you're talking about the different rules. And it's funny when you hear some of the NBA players that are from the States when they're playing international and have to play international rules and how much it just throws them sideways, you know?
Yep. Just to adjust that little tiny bit, you know?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's not like you can't play like a James Harden and think you can just get away with all this stuff when you're playing internationally, because you'll get pulled up left, right and centre.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yep. So Hawks, solid lineup. How do you reckon yous will go for the season coming up for the 2023-2024 season? How do you reckon yous are going to hold up?
Hey man, I'm excited to see. I feel like we've got a good group here. A couple more pieces, you know, that we're going to add, and hopefully we get a good big, good import big, or something along those lines. But you know, we'll see. Clubs of staff, obviously, but I'm excited. Like, I'm really excited to see what we're going to do. I feel like we're coming in with a lot more hunger this year, you know. Like, we've got four guys here working out. Sam Froling's coming back a bit soon from Japan. I think we're going to end up with about six of us here on a whole, you know, just all working in the off-season, which is, like, you don't really tend to hear that from NBL teams, you know. Guys usually take off to different parts of Australia or even the world to make some money. Mm. So the fact that we've sacrificed that to stay here is, like, it excites me, you know. I'm like, we're really going to be ready coming in. So I don't want to speak too soon. I don't want to speak, you know, too highly of us. But at the same time, I'm very confident in what we can do as a club and what we can do as a team with the roster we've built.
Yeah, that sounds great, because it sounds like you will be already past the warm-up stage when the season starts. Like, you're hot hands, hot feet, ready to rock and roll, which is awesome. So when you've done some of the rounds around the country, and Perth's probably buddy one of them, so what's one of the most hostile crowds in the NBL when you're playing?
Probably Perth, closely followed by Cairns.
Cairns?
Yeah, they've got some guys up there that love to talk. But Perth, number one. Oh, Sydney's pretty bad too. God. Nah, yeah, Perth would be on top, and then second would be between Sydney and Cairns.
Yeah, I've been in that Kings crowd. It's all good, giving you guys a rubbing, so that's all right. Who's one of the most in the NBL, one of the most intimidating players?
To play against?
To play against.
Like their skill set, yeah?
Skill set? Well, if it's either one or the other or combined?
Probs. I don't know. I don't want to say I'm scared of anybody, but, like, you know, when you switch on to Bryce, like, you're in for a challenge. That one is, like, one of the toughest, one of the toughest guys I've guarded, because you can't play off of him, but you can't play up. It's like you've just sort of got to stay in front, and whatever he throws up, hope he misses. And, yeah, that was cool to sort of play against somebody like him. Yeah, I'm sure there's others that just can't think right now, but Bryce would be, like, probably number one, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's good getting different looks, though, because then that's only going to make you a better player, especially when you're seeing stuff you might not have seen, or people move a certain way or whatever it may be, and that's just building up your tools, eh, brother?
Yeah, exactly right.
So if you look at Mr. Xavier Cooks now, that he's got his wings on and flown over to DC, so now he's gone. Who do you reckon, when it's got to do with, you know, there's a lot of guys that are stepping up, who do you reckon sort of up that top tier when you're looking at?
Keanu Pinder.
Straight up, brother.
I think he's next to go. If my money was on anybody from the league that's been playing in the league, you know, not a next star, I'd say him.
Yep. Yeah, he's solid, and he's along that lines of reactive too. Like, man, and he's got some hop on him, big time.
He's talented as hell, man. Like,
what's he like in real life when you, like, you know, having someone like that dunking on you, that's no joke, you know?
Oh, he's cool, super cool dude, man. Like, down to earth, like, great dude.
Yeah, what is he, 6'10", 6'8", 6'10", or something?
6'10", 6'11".
Jeez.
6'9", bro. Somewhere between 6'9", and 11.
And he's athletic.
And athletic as hell.
And, you know, yourself, you're a solid player, brother. And when you're looking at your Indigenous brothers or sisters that are on the rise, like, you've just named one, Keanu. But who's some of the other mob in the mix?
Bwali Bales. Yeah. I grew up with him. That's my brother boy. Tamariz out there. My brother boy Ver Williams down, I think he's playing in either Central or North. Talented black fellas, you know. Up north, there's a bunch of boys up that way, I think. Even coming through, there's a lot of young black kids coming through, you know. There's even good player, good female, like Shanice Swain, just signed in WNBA. Just huge for black fellas, you know. There's a lot coming through, though. I just feel like there's a few things and a few ways that the WNBA and NBL have to sort of make it more culturally safe for some of these kids coming through, you know. That the same way that, you know, the AFL and NRL tend to do, you know. I feel like the NBL sort of needs to take a leaf out of their book. And they're doing a great job with what they're doing now, but there's other steps you need to take to sort of make sure that you're not just helping the kids that are already there. You're also helping the ones that are coming through that don't have the same sort of, you know, leg to stand on as these other kids who've, you know, just to say it bluntly, have it all.
100%, because some kids are privileged and where they're getting picked up and going at King's School there in Sydney, and, you know, it's a lot of dollars and cents and privilege and all of that. So,
yeah,
you knocked it on the head.
Right. Yeah, like that I feel like, I'm sure you can talk to so many black fellas that have played the game that can speak about talented black fellas that have played, you know, but the highest level they've ever gone is either reps or even just local comp. But again, it's just a lot of black fellas feel like there's just not a lot of, like, yeah, cultural awareness around basketball. They need to start at least being in talk or talking to the AFL or NRL to see what their model is like, to see what they're doing. That's how I feel about that.
Yep. And you do a bit of that yourself here and there when it's just talking to mob and just trying to show the right path, whether it's young brothers or sisters coming through and just some of the knowledge that you know and what it takes and the hustle and grind. But also if you're feeding some of that information back to the league and say, well, mob works like this and this might be a channel for people to sort of step through.
Yeah. But it's a hard line to straddle, you know, when you play in a sport that is a business, because that's what you got to remember as well, you know, like you can't just go up to people who don't know where we're coming from and expect them, how do I put it?
To have that cultural awareness, yeah?
Yeah? Yeah. You know what I mean? And like us telling them that, hey, this is how it needs to be done, it tends to come off very confrontational. It's not coming from a bad place. It's just out of frustration, the fact that this has to be, it has to be in place. There are things like this that have to be in place. So anybody who comes through can feel safe, you know, not just black. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Yeah, and especially when it's got to do with sport and development, and you know, some leagues are sort of got the front foot on others, and that's just experience and just opportunity there too. But so, what does it mean to you to be a proud Aboriginal man and being a professional basketball player, and through the struggle and through the hustle and the grind and sweat and tears and everything above to get to where you are today?
I'm not going to lie, I sort of still forget it. I just still think I'm just Davo, like, if that makes sense. But I've got to put into perspective that there are people who look up to me, there are people who have eyes on me, things like that, you know, and that's new. I'm still sort of just figuring all that out now. Just really coming to terms with it, I guess. But as a black man, you know, like, I don't know if you know, but my grandfather is, you know, Billy Craigie, and my grandmother is
Craigie.
Yeah, my grandfather was one of the four men that started the 10 Embassy in Canberra. And so I've been in nothing but, like, I'm named after him. William David is his name, and they called him Billy Davo. So everybody actually called me Billy Davo growing up until I got to kindergarten, around kindergarten year one, and they couldn't be bothered saying Billy Davo, and that's where the Davo comes from, and that stuck. And so I'm named after him and my grandmother, and it's been instilled into me from as young as I can remember that, you know, I'm black, like, and I'm a proud black man. And, you know, what I've seen them go through, it's a lot of the reason why when things happen, and, you know, if I've got an opportunity to make a change or make sure that my voice is heard, I'll always do that, because it's, you know, what they do, even if it's not, even if it doesn't benefit my career or benefit where I'm going to be politically, you know, I don't care. Like, at the end of the day, like, my grandparents went through so much worse. What's me just telling them, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing that this way. And that's why with the NBL and even Illawarra, I try to make sure that when they're doing stuff for Indigenous round or anything culturally, I make sure they do it the right way, you know, and make sure they go through the right people. They're not just doing something because they want to put on show. They're doing it because they're doing it for the right reasons, and they're going through their, whichever city they're in, make sure they're going through the right custodians in that area. Like, things like that. And
you knocked it on the head there. Like, that's so important. Like, it's not, you know, because I harp on about this stuff all the time, whether it's got to do with work or other situations, when, you know, I'm Wanneroo Kamilaroi, and but I don't go rolling on Bunjil and country or Walpree country. Or, you know, this is a map behind me head here, so there's hundreds of different tribal nations, and you can't just go rolling up and just, yeah, like, you're Indigenous, but you got to respect the people that reside of that land and the land itself. Like, it's a total different ballgame. And language sets, like, everything, cultural beliefs, everything. All of it.
Yeah, like, growing up, like, when I used to be with my grandmothers, you know, if we were on, you know, if we're on Bunjalung land, and, you know, we're out or we're camping or we're out doing whatever, like, we always used to get told, like, don't muck up, this isn't our land, you know?
Mm.
And as a kid, that would always keep you on edge. Like, why can't we muck up? What do you mean it's not our land? And, like, once you get older and explain to you, it's like, it's about having respect on whose land. It's like, you know, like, we're not from here. This isn't, you know, we don't know the area. And so things like that, where you just sort of, you put in perspective as a black fella, but trying to explain that to, you know, a Gabba isn't really going to go the same way.
No.
About where you've got to sort of come at it. You got to come at this in a way that they're going to understand, but they're not going to be offended by you telling, like, them being offended by just you saying, yo, you're doing it wrong.
Mm.
And like I was saying before, it comes back to the whole ego thing. They don't like being told a lot of the time that this is wrong. And it's about coming at them in a way that we can all come to an agreement, and it's not so confrontational, you know?
Yeah, that's it. And it's just exploring that, because there's been times like where I've been in certain parts of Australia, and like, say there was one mob in the centre, and, you know, we're talking to this fella, and, you know, English was his third language. And how's this, right? And this, you don't hear this stuff. Like, and it annoys me, these stories don't get out of here. This bloke was in his 50s. And this is back in 2017 when I met this fella. And he walked in off community in 1986, right? And he didn't know of white existence. Didn't know, right? And he's walked in, and then the rest of his mob went, like, because it was a small family unit, and he stayed in and ended up cruising in Alice Springs, and the rest of the mob went back into the desert. And, you know, meeting this fella and talking to him, and you go to shake hands, but you don't, that's not custody. You only shake hands when it's sorry business, with his mob. Like, and if you can see up on the map behind me, the big green one, dark green one up in the middle there, like, he was from that mob. So it's just little things like that. And it's like, you just got to be aware. So that's, you know.
No, that man, like, that. This is exactly what I mean by, like, just as an example, it's not culturally safe. Like, we're in Darwin, and for the Blitz, and, you know, there's Indigenous people all over the streets, and, you know, drinking alcohol like it is up there, and it's sad to see, you know, and they're asking questions like, why do you guys, like, what are your guys' beliefs? Like, do you believe in a God? And I just looked at them, you know, like we all have our own beliefs. Like, the fact that that's not taught in Australia alone is sort of, like, worrying, you know. And it's little things like that, like, where you have to educate them, where usually you wouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to educate people on something in a country where you lived, whose land you live on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That which, you know, you sort of turn your head a little bit, but you let it go. You're okay with it. You've just got to, just little things like that, I feel like, need to be more touched on and taught, you know, like that's why there's rap plans. That's why there's, that's why it's set up, you know, to make sure that we're understanding these things.
Spot on. Well, rap plans and other means. So that's what's important. So Indigenous, like when you're looking at these Indigenous basketball organisations, there's a lot of good orgs that are starting to come up now, and where they're promoting a lot of, you know, whether it's their own sort of leagues within themselves and where it's going to rural, remote, urban. So it's yeah, great to see, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. That's all through Paddy as well. And then I've got in Victoria, there's one of the blackfellas who I stayed with while I was with Melbourne Tigers. He's just set up his own academy, Koori Academy down there. Well, you know, and it's just things like that where you can see, you know, people in the community sort of setting up things for our kids who don't usually have access to a basketball, let alone, you know, facilities, let alone a pair of shoes, things like that, which is like, is very vital for our people, you know. Being active is very, like, very, very vital for our people. And I feel like that's where I want to end up moving into, a space I want to end up moving into, you know, providing facilities, providing needs, providing what's, you know, equipment, whatever's needed, just so these kids have that going forward.
That's awesome. That's needed, brother. And I hope all that transpires, eh, because much needed across the board, across all these great nations behind us there within this continent, Australia. So, and, yeah, that Paddy, like the amount of money and time that he's putting in, when he's got the time, you know, and when he's, when the season's over, and just where I've seen him, you know, in the middle of Australia and parts where, you know, he's throwing up a, getting a new court paved out, you know, for kids. Yeah. And that's not cheap, you know, and getting all that sorted out. But it's all about giving back to community and, you know, trying to provide opportunities and just trying to lay a pathway now, which is great. So that's, you know, advocation, like being a strong advocate is needed in the sports space, you know, so.
Yes,
especially in basketball, we need to get more kids on the court, eh?
There's a lot of kids on the court already, bro. It's like I was saying, there's a lot of kids on the court. It's you know, it's just about like when we have, you know, Indigenous tournaments, like the knockout. It's like what Trell said, you know, didn't see one scout down there. Little things like that. You sort of like, you need people out there within the community, like spotting these kids, you know. Because a lot of these kids can't make it to the big cities. A lot of them can't, you know, get out of their little towns a lot of the time. So that little things like that, that's, there's a lot of kids already out there, bro. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and that's a hard thing, you know, that you've got this kid that's blazing up potential to the stars, and then there's, you know, because they're within their town, you're looking at travel, petrol money, all that sort of stuff. Like,
yeah, exactly what I mean. No, bro.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
100%, brother. 100%. And when we look at, man, there's some talent coming out of this country, and it's been good to see, like, and the talent that's, whether that's on home soil, and where you're seeing some of this talent, you know, when it's got to do with the NBA or Europe. And, like, God, we've got a few fellas in the NBA now. You know, Paddy's a veteran, killing it, you know, with the Brooklyn Nets, and it's been awesome to see his progression. I met him when he, when they won in 2014, and him and Baines bang out the bloody Larry O'Brien trophy and, you know, had that thing in front of me, and seeing all the gold-plated thing, that was no joke. So, but, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm in a wheelchair, so I'm like, you know, I'm 3 foot nothing, and I'm looking at Paddy in his store, but I'm looking at Aaron Baines, and I'm like, Jesus, fella.
Yeah, big boy, man.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, and I'm just seeing, imagine having Bainesy running at you, full weight of steam, 6'10", and 100-plus kilos. I'm like, you can have it.
Scary.
Yeah. And how was it playing against him with the Brisbane Bullets, all right?
Yeah. Just big. Just a big boy, man. It's like a big presence. That's the best way to put it. Obviously very talented, you know. But far, he's just massive, man.
Yeah.
Big hand, feet, big head, big body.
Big everything. Yeah, and just seeing the talent too, like I've been, and just seeing this other Josh Giddey character, that's, he's picking up some momentum, mate. But just seeing his court vision, that he's got, but he's sort of like that Ben Simmons sort of, because he's got you know, that 6'8", 6'10", sort of height. So then you get a bit of a read over the top and you can sling all sorts of stuff across the court, eh?
Yeah, there's one thing about seeing it, but about actually delivering it consistently like he does, you know. Very, very talented.
Yep, yep. Favourite NBA team and favourite player in the NBA, whether that's past or present?
Look, I stand by this, man. I used to be on the Warriors back in like 2012, 2013. And it used to be Curry. And then once all the bandwagons came in, I was just like, yeah, look, I'm done. And if I'm honest, I don't really support a team. I'm more watch guys. I used to, like, you know, have favorite players, and I still do, you know, have, like, players I like watching, but once I got to an age where I was like, I'm aspiring to play against or with these guys, you know, I sort of can't. There's a point where you got to stop idolizing, and, you know, and it's just a mindset you've got to turn yourself into. Same thing you do with the NBL, you know, as you're growing up.
Yeah, because then, that, you know, you're setting a challenge on yourself because you trying to raise a bar for yourself, whether it's got to do with the level of basketball that you are playing and you want to play and you want to continuously keep that bar where it is or keep pushing it up, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
I used to be a mad Supersonics fan, Sean Kemp, Gary Payton and crew, but, you know, they're gone now. It's moved down to Oklahoma, OKC, but I'm the same. I'll follow players and, you know, following all the Aussies over in America or overseas, like Dante over in Europe and, you know, and it's the same with the NBL as well. Like, Kings, like, and I'll go and watch Kings games, but it's, you know, it's more just looking at the players, like, and appreciating their talents and what they can do and how they can play within that team environment, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly right.
Which is awesome. So, have you watched any playoffs, NBA playoffs recently?
I've been watching the playoffs. I didn't really watch throughout the year, if I'm honest, but, like, I've been watching a lot of the playoffs. Like, once playoffs basketball comes around, best basketball in the world, nothing compares, you know. Been watching a lot of it.
Yeah, and right now, I'm just looking at the score. Oh, it's finished up. So Warriors got up, 127, 100 over the Lakers. Sorry, spoiler. Oh, well, this podcast is going to come out later. the Warriors, oh, man, watching that game 7, like with Curry against Sacramento and just the stuff he can pull, like, just like he's shooting from range and just, you know, catch and shoot and all that stuff. But there was one section where he dribbled through the opposition and just went through about 5 guys and just, nice little layup. Yeah. But just like, and because I've seen, you know, Kyrie do this too, but, and some of the other guards that, where it's just the trickery. And that's what I love, where it's like guys that, you know, it's not LeBron's where it's like 6'8" and you're built like this and you're, you know, you're trained, you sort of built, you're using, like, you're utilizing what you got and you're using your trickery and mastery around it, you know. And
When you're smaller, you know, you've got to compensate. That's just the reality of things. You're not as tall as guys. You can't dunk on them. You can't, you know, shoot over them. So there's other ways you've got to be able to be effective. And when you're smaller, I feel like these smaller guys tend to be more creative with, you know, their moves, their dribbling, whatever it may be. And it doesn't take away that I'm sure there are a lot of guys that are out there that are big and have the skill set, you know, but they're usually elevated because they're tall compared to a guy who's smaller. And I just don't think people, like, the average, like viewer, like, average fan, they don't understand how hard some of the things that, like, these guys do, you know? It's like when I hear say along the lines of, like, oh, this guy's not playing in the NBA, he's shit, or he sucks. It's like, man, like, you don't realize, like, the bottom guy of an NBA bench in any league in the world would average 20 or more. Any league. Like, I don't think guys realize how good these guys are. And, like, just the level that these guys play at. But when until you actually play the sport or, you know, you're involved with it and you understand how hard, you know, even just dribbling a ball is, then you can appreciate it. I feel like that's the same with any sport, you know, that you look down on. Until you play it. That was me with golf.
Oh, you can have that. No, but yeah, golf's awesome though too. Like, obviously, but yeah,
fun. But man, they make it look easy. They make it look easy. Oh
god, yeah. So hard. Hey, have you watched Full Swing?
Full Swing, is that the documentary?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah. I've watched a bit of that.
Oh, brother.
The PGA Tour documentary?
Yeah, it's like a PGA, and then you got the Live Golf, and you got the friction between Live and PGA and all that.
Yeah, I was watching that for a bit.
Yeah, oh, God, talk about documentaries, The Last Dance, far out.
Yeah, back in 2020.
MJ is a ruthless man.
Yeah, ruthless, didn't care. Yeah. That cousin texted me after that came out, like, hey, I want to get back into basketball. Can you help me? Like, three or four cousins, like, he just inspires people, man.
Oh, mentality. And it shows in business, too. I ended up watching Air, too, because I'm off on shoes, on kicks, brother. And you know when you're talking about Jordans and all that. And have you seen Air and just what's gone on with that?
No, I haven't seen that yet, but I want to go watch it.
Oh, I won't say anything then because I don't want to be throwing out spoilers. But just to see how much he makes as a passive income to this day, I won't say. Watch the movie. Eddie's insane. It will blow your socks up. But the movie, all in all, is really good, you know, so I really enjoyed it. But, And just go, because I want to just quickly touch on that. Like going back to Steph Curry is all about shooting threes, all that. You know, he's number one, got the record. But just, you know, when you got someone that's got his stature and he's coming up against Sabonis, and then just because, you know, that guy's 7-1 or whatever, and just the way he threw this layup, but it was like this teardrop that just
went. Oh, how he throws it up. It's, man, that is one of the most, like, that alone is what I was talking about before, like how hard things, like how easy these guys make it look like. That is, like, to do a layup that high and have control over it that consistently is ridiculous, man. Like, that takes a different type of skill. Nobody else does it.
Yeah, and I think people don't realize either, like, because, you know, when you're watching the full game compared to watching highlights on Instagram or on TV is when you're watching a live game and you're watching how much Steph Curry, how much he runs without the ball and his positioning.
I don't think
people realize that, like, how much of that's involved. Like, that's, you know, I think that's led to where he is today. Like, it's just that cardio just knowing where to put himself. But he's constantly moving. People are constantly chasing him without the ball.
I think that's a three-year period where he led the league for most miles ran accumulatively for the year. So they've got trackers on him and they track how many miles they've ran. He ran the most for 3 or 4 years consecutively. Him and then followed by Klay Thompson.
Oh, Jesus, Splash Brothers.
Yeah. Like, they just don't stop moving.
But doesn't that – I see, that blows my mind. And just the rate that they shoot and the catch and shoot and just when they're in these obscure positions and the ball still falls through the bloody net, I'm like, how does that happen?
It's years and years of sacrifice and work.
Yeah.
That's what that is, like, years and years of just constant – working on the same thing over and over, day in, day out, to the point where you just throw it up and it's natural now.
And so she's in. It's all repetitive. It's all muscle memory. Okay, sacrifice some of the runs that you've gone through. I'm going to just share the screen quickly. Got three pictures I want to throw up. Just tell me what's happening and just how you felt in that moment and just what this means to you, brother. Stand by. Righto. Share screen. Where are we?
Ah, God.
Talk us through it,
brother. So see that leg band real quick? That's actually an arm sleeve, but my arms are too skinny back then to put them on. So, like,
straight up black collar legs.
And then, but that was my first year playing with AIB, where eventually the guy I stayed with in Melbourne, Ricky Baldwin.
Yep.
That's where I ended up meeting him. And so,
His show, is it? Is that what he's running?
No. He runs that Curry Academy, but he was the assistant coach. But the Mackay coach, Joel Kalu, was running this, and we were in New Zealand here versus their Maldi team.
How'd you go?
We won the series, do you know Chris Patton? Played for Melbourne a few years ago, Melbourne United.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, he had a game winner to seal it for us in game 2.
Nice.
Yeah.
Righto. Bloody arm sleeper. That's awesome.
That's actually an arm
sleeper. That's awesome. Righto, next one. What does that mean? You got Big Sam Froelen in the background, but if you're looking at this jersey here, what does that mean when you got Indigenous round on?
Well, my totem's actually the Wedgetail Eagle. So I know that's a hawk, but in my mind it was an eagle. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Like the uniform, I think we had the best uniform. That's just my opinion. But that picture alone, like I love that picture because it's like, I don't know, like, you know, you got the fans in the back, the shining light on the courts. Gives me that sense of like, you know, you sort of made it, but there's still a journey to go, obviously. But it was one of the pictures I looked back on and was able to be proud of myself.
Yeah, it looks great with the lighting and all that, like with the red in the background, eh?
Yeah, very dope.
Righto, last one.
Yeah.
What's going on here, brother? That's important stance here, down in Canberra.
Yeah, I believe that was on Invasion Day, so January 26th. It's just a pitch, you know, just... It was just a random night, I think, and I was just feeling proud, you know, and I feel like this picture epitomizes, you know, the strength we have as our people have, you know. In my mind, I look at that and I think, yeah, we're still here. Right, that's right, we're still here. You tried everything you can, but we're still here. And I just love that.
100%. Said it well. Righto. Okay, we're back. Thanks for explaining that, brother, and that's straight up.
Right.
You know, you're looking at the people in Melbourne and the struggle and then doing that straight up down in the heart of where all the, you know, PM and all these mob are. So, that's awesome. So, any advice to, and not just youngsters, because you got some people that are in the lower leagues that, you know, they're going through the struggle and the sacrifice and want to make it to the pros. So have you got any advice for people on the come up, brother? And whether that's mob or people in general?
The biggest piece of advice I find is like, just like, it's so cliche, but like, just stay with it. Like, don't quit on it. And like, I tell people, like all my cousins this, like, or who I can, just don't quit because, you know, growing up, I never made state teams until under 20s. Cut from every state team in my juniors, you know, till I made 20s. And pretty much every guy bar one from my 16s and I think 18s actually still play. And the only one that still plays is Josh Green.
You played alongside that fella. That's bloody weird.
I played alongside him. I played against him. Oh, and he against state. Him. I didn't make that team. But, like, that's my point. Like, a lot of guys that make these junior teams, especially if you're younger, this goes out to the younger ones, these guys that make these junior teams, they get complacent and they think this is the epitome of where they need to be. Like, you need to look past all of those juniors, all of the accolades, and like, because the moment these guys don't make a team, they're going to quit. It happens every year. You'll see it happen. And as long as you're the one that just stays with it, you got to stay with it. You got to put in the work. You got to make sacrifices. You got to, you know, you really got to sacrifice for this. That's the biggest thing. And as long as you do that and you stay with it, that's the main point, you're going to get to where you want to get to. But that's the biggest thing, is like staying with it, and it gets easier every day until eventually there's going to be an opportunity, and then it's up to you whether or not you're going to take that opportunity. And that's how I'll leave that. Yeah, that's just stay with it.
Well said, brother. Well said. Well, you heard it, folks. You know, no matter if you're getting, no matter what age, when you're getting chopped, stay with it. Embrace the grind, you know. Because that's life in general, whether it's sports or whatever you're doing. Like, life's a roller coaster, eh, brother? So it's just,
that's it, bro.
You know, get back up, dust it off, and just keep persevering. And look out what it's done for yourself. Like you said, up until your 20s, you've gone through state teams and getting cut here and there, but it's just perseverance, you know, and... Now look, Illawarra Hawks, NBL, you know, you should be proud of yourself, brother. And, you know, I can't wait for this season to pop up. and seeing how you're going to be slinging around the court with the Hawks and up against some of these other fellas around the nation. Because I'm excited, brother, for the NBL and just what's going on at the moment and just the build and the process and getting a lot of mob involved. Where it is, like you said, there is still a process and there's still time to catch up. But, and it's like the NBL too. Just stay the course. That's it. So if people want to get a hold of you, when it's got to do with socials and all that sort of stuff, do you want to throw that out in the atmosphere?
Yeah, just get at me on the gram if you know you got questions, wiggity day, underscore, if you need coaching, whatever. Just get at me on the gram. I'll get back to you.
That's it. Coaching, all of it. That's it. Thanks for your time, brother. Look forward to the
up. Thanks for having me on.
That's it. Look forward to the upcoming season. Get after it.
Too easy. I appreciate it, brother. Take care.
Cheers, brother. Bye. Solid yarn. Great chat. Great talk with Davo Hickey, the proud brother. And see, here's an example of if you fall down, you get back up, perseverance. Where he got knocked back by not making it to certain teams, but just kept those wheels turning forward. And now look, in the professional ranks, in the NBL. So if it's you, you get knocked back, get back up, dust it off. If that's your dream, if it's basketball, any other sport or occupation, whatever it may be, keep moving forward. You might make it to those ranks. Loved it. Keep up the work, brother. Can't wait to see you playing in the upcoming season. And if you like the podcast, hit that subscribe or follow button. And we've also got a Patreon page. The link is within the description. So if you want to roll with the squad and become a patron, that'd be great. And if you want to get in contact with me, you can get me via Instagram at StreetRollingCheetah or email one word, StreetRollingCheetah@gmail.com. And we've also got a Facebook page, Keep Rolling with Jake Briggs, so check it out. And I want to thank our sponsors, Permobil Australia, the greatest electric wheelchairs in the land. Wouldn't be sitting in anything else but these four wheels right here, and they've got great assistive tech also. So righto, we'll see you on the next one.